Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. It could be. In fact, it just might be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and education, and it's done without manipulation. No hidden agendas here, nothing for you to buy, nothing that we're trying to get you to join. The only thing we have for you here is accurate information from the Word of God. If you're interested in verifying and identifying God's plan for your life, stick around. You're going to hear some amazing information today. And if you can orient and adjust to the plan of God, then you get the freedom and the privacy to do so in your own life. You don't have to join up. You don't have to show up. You just have to listen up. Listen and apply. It's an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 11:27, where he said that all happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. None of us can keep it perfectly. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God every day. And a lot of people sin in a lot of different ways. I think the worst are the self-righteous religious types that think they're doing God a favor because they showed up in church today, or because they didn't drink a beer this week, or because they didn't do something bad this week. Most people forget that mental attitude sins are just as bad as overt sins. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 6:16-17, there are seven sins that God hates, and it lists them. And most people would be pretty shocked to read what the seven biggies are. Probably not in their vocabulary, not really what they thought they were. And yet, you know, when we start comparing sins, we all fall short. We all fall way short of the glory of God. So don't let someone trap you into that saying, well, I'm better than you because I don't do those bad things you do. In other words, I don't sin outwardly, I just sin in my mind. You know, there's all types of immoral degeneracy, and there is moral degeneracy. And it is the moral degenerates that would kill you in the name of God and think he's doing God a favor. It is the moral degenerates that we fight in the war on terror today who think that you and all Americans and all Jews are the great Satan. And they want to kill us. They want to blow us up. They want to go to see Allah in a quick trip. And this is the most immoral thing that a man could do. The Bible says, what better love does a man have than this, that he lay down his life for his friend, not blow him up? And so we got things a little twisted today. But that's not what I want to talk about. If this is your first time to listen to our radio show, we call it the Flotline, F-L-O-T, and the reason is this. FLOT is a military acronym for the forward line of troops. The military always deploys a main line of resistance or forward line of troops out in front of the command post so that the enemy cannot overrun the command post. We're using that analogy in your own soul, trying to teach the problem-solving devices found in the Word of God, and we've been able to identify at least 10 of them, so that if you will deploy these problem-solving devices into your life as a main line of resistance, as a flat line, then you will be able to keep the outside pressure of adversity, which in effect is the enemy, from overrunning the command post of your soul, which is your thought life, your mind, and turning the outside pressure of adversity to the inside pressure of stress. There's a better way to live. You don't have to live like that. It's called the Christian life. It's the unique spiritual life. Very few people understand much about it. They don't think much about it. And yet it's on every page of the Bible. And yet if you ask someone, what is the spiritual life? What does the spiritual life mean? Very few people even know they have a spiritual life. Your spiritual life begins the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you accept Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says you're born again. Not physically, but spiritually. And spiritually, you're made alive. The Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. You're made alive spiritually. The Bible says, if you're going to worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. So the only way you can come to know God is by means of the truth found in the Bible, by means of the Holy Spirit, and by means of your human spirit, as God fellowships with your human spirit through his word. That's how it works. And that's the spiritual life, living the plan of God for you, allowing the Holy Spirit to control your life, growing in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means you go to church, you study the Bible, you apply what you learn into your life. and you live the spiritual life. The physical life, well, that's what you lived before you came to know Christ. And you still are a physical being, but that's going to perish. You're going to die someday. That has to happen, but not spiritually. You have had a new birth spiritually, and you will never die spiritually. You'll have eternal life with God. You'll be in heaven eventually, where old things are passed away and all things become new. You'll have a resurrection body, and your human spirit will reside in that new resurrection body. The real you is in that soul. It's that spirit in the soul, but the body is not the real you. It's just the outward shell, like the tortoise, and it'll be gone someday, and then you'll be in heaven face to face, awaiting the resurrection body, the body you'll live in for the rest of your life. We have been talking about core values in the believer's life. We've been talking about those things that you rally around, the real you, the inner you, the part of you that gives you strength. And we have discussed how I came to the conclusion that every believer must have a core value. I came to that conclusion by reading Marcus Luttrell's book, Lone Survivor. Very interesting book out on the book market today about a Navy SEAL and his ordeal in the mountains of Afghanistan. Very highly decorated American soldier, Navy SEAL. And he talks about the core values of the Navy and the core values of the Navy SEALs in his book. Well, believers must have core values as well. We've entitled those core values the pulse beat of the believer's soul. As your pulse beats in regular rhythm with the heartbeat of Christ, then the Bible says that Christ is formed in you. Where Paul said, for example, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ. He talks about Christ in me, the hope of glory. The whole deal about you being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you becoming a mature person in your spiritual life, in your soul life, is so that Christ can be represented through your life. As you learn the character assets of Christ, as you apply them into your life, people begin to see you as they would see Christ. You become magnetic. Your people are drawn to you, and they see Christ in you. Paul said this is the greatest thing that could ever happen, because this is our job, to represent Christ and to reconcile the world to God through him. And you must have that pulse beat that he has. Your heart must beat in regular rhythm with his heart. And the P stands for probity. Remember, I told you this was an acronym. The pulse is an acronym. P stood for probity. And U stood for understanding. U stood for understanding. And we studied that. We've studied probity and we've studied understanding. And now we're going to study the L in the PULSE acronym, P-U-L-S-E. What is this L about? What does that mean? Well, very simply, it means one word, love. Love. The Bible says God is love. And that's very simple. People like to put that on their bumper stickers, but God is also justice and righteousness and sovereignty. He's eternal life. He's a lot of things. But God is love. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:3, if we love him, we will obey him, and his mandates are not grievous. So when I talk about love here, I'm not necessarily talking about the love of God. I'm talking about your core values, not the core values of God, yours. And so when I'm talking about love, I'm going to equate that to loyalty. Loyalty. The believer is loyal because he loves his Heavenly Father. Listen again as I read the verse. If we love him, and if is a third-class condition in the Greek language. It says maybe you will and maybe you won't. But if we love him, then we will obey his mandates, and his mandates are not grievous. They're not hard. There's another passage that where the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world, nor the things of the world, because if anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. You see, the world is the cosmic system. The world is the system that Satan empowers to lure and distract believers away from the plan of God. The world is what lures you on to the my way, highway. It's what causes you to abandon the plan of God and go your own direction. And even though God may specifically give you a mandate, don't do this or don't do that, you do it anyhow. Because you think, in your reasoning, rationing of your own mind, you got a better plan. You got a better deal. You know that God told you not to do it, but doesn't really make much difference to you because you figure you can do it and it won't bother you. And when God tells you not to do something, he's trying to protect you, not hurt you. He's trying to protect you from you. You are your worst enemy. You have the power to self-destruct in your own soul. And by disobeying the mandates of God and not being loyal, because you don't really love him, then you are on the way down the my way highway. The Bible in Ephesians 6:24 says, "Grace be upon those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an incorruptible love." That means a love that's not distracted, a love that's not for sale, a love that's not coerced. It's a phenomenal love. It's a motivational virtue in the believer's life. And you know, the great thing about it is we love him and we have not even seen him. But by faith we believe he exists and we love him. In 1 Corinthians 10:21, the Bible says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Now we're going to talk about loyalty here just for a minute, so listen carefully. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:21, you cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than the Lord? You may not understand what that's saying, but let me try to enlighten you with it. This is the background. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth. The men and women in the church in Corinth were involved in some really weird things. There were several letters he wrote. Two of them made it into the Bible, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. But they were involved in a combination of different forms of belief and different forms of worship and combining those forms together. This would be called, in our language, syncretism. Syncretism. I know it's a word you probably never heard of before, but it's when you try to synchronize things. Syncretism. The Wikipedia from the internet says that syncretism consists of the attempt to reconcile fundamentally different or contradictory beliefs, often while combining the practice of various schools of thought. What the Corinthians were doing was they were going down to the temple, and they were partaking in temple ritual, and they were also trying to serve God as well. They had accepted Christ, and they were trying to combine the two. And when you went to the temple, you ate a great steak that had been offered to an idol. You often got drunk in celebration of Bacchus, and you often had sex as you worshiped the love god Aphrodite. These were all things that went on in the temple. And so Paul, when these people got saved and they came out of the temple, Paul even mandated in Ephesians 4:17 that we do not live like those Gentiles live in the emptiness of their mind. Their minds are vacuums. There's nothing there. And the believer, we are told to have the mind of Christ. So you can't live on both sides of the fence. You can't bend and blend the Word of God to make it fit your situation. You have to go one way or the other. There is no such thing as trying to combine good and evil. Syncretism, our word, is a betrayal of the pure or absolute truth of standards of the Word of God. It's a betrayal of the pure or absolute truth of the standards of the Word of God. Syncretism will water down and eventually distort all truth. So if you try to go to church and be involved in your church, and then you have a secret lifestyle on the side or open lifestyle on the side, you're kidding yourself. You see, that won't cut it with God, and that's not going to cut it with you, because you're going to sell out eventually. See, this can be one of Satan's subtle attempts to distract you, lure you away from the absolute truth of the Word of God through compromising your soul. You may say, well, I know the Bible says I shouldn't do something like that, but what? Well, but I have special needs, or but I can't control it, or but we are all victims of our decisions, good and bad. And we have the power to live the Christian life as per the Holy Spirit. If we'll use problem-solving device number one and confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us. And if we'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can overcome anything in our life. We can be loyal. God would not ask us to be loyal if it were not possible. Because loyalty never compromises. Loyalty doesn't bend. Loyalty doesn't blend the Word of God to fit our own needs, our own situations, our own desires. For example, if you are a believer and you fall in love with an unbeliever, the Bible clearly says don't marry an unbeliever. And yet, you go ahead and do it anyhow. You figure you got a better deal. God didn't really mean that. And you love this person. And what's wrong with marrying him? Even though he doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're great friends and we really are good together, so we're going to get married. That's disloyalty. That's leaving the absolute truth of the Word of God. See, the Bible is clear about so many things like this. And I could go on after illustration after illustration. And the bottom line is you're being disloyalty. The Word of God demands loyalty. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. But you cannot serve God and mammon, mammon being wealth or money. So the time will come when these two things make opposing demands in your life. And sooner or later, you're going to go for the wrong demand. Now, is there a limit to loyalty? Well, not where God's concerned. No, there's not. But in regards to others, yes. There are limits to loyalty. And it goes like this. There are some divine establishment principles that God has set up for all members of the human race. And if you're around people that are oriented to these establishment concepts like marriage, family, freedom, patriotism, that's great. There's no limit to being loyal to that. But there are limits in other areas, and you have to be very careful about who you hang out with or what you do. So when someone that is your close friend to, or someone that has a very impactful pull on your life, and they're not standing by establishment principles, they're involved in something else, then you must break contact with that person and not remain loyal. You're loyal to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love us with impersonal love because Christ loved us, and you love us with that same love. But there are times when you have to break away from people because of their stand. James 4:8 talks about being double-minded, or the Greek word is diesukos. It's double souled, having two souls. And it means that you think in two different directions. Your mind is split. You can't figure whether to go right or left. You know, Yogi Berra said, when you come to the fork in the road, take it. Well, which fork, Yogi? Which one are you talking about? Another thing I want you to realize, when it comes to loyalty, there's a word that runs hand in hand with loyalty. As a matter of fact, it's on the flip side of the coin. So if you wrote loyal on one side and flipped it over, it would be longevity on the other side. Longevity. Perseverance. Sticking with it. Hanging in there. See, loyalty is the willingness to make an investment or a personal sacrifice to strengthen your relationship. That's a quote I pulled from Fred Reichfield. Loyalty is the willingness to make an investment of personal sacrifice to strengthen a relationship. And so when it comes to God and your relationship with God, if you're loyal to Him, then you're going to make an investment of your time and your life, and you're going to sacrifice things that you might wish to do in order to strengthen your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You're going to persevere. You're going to be there in the long haul. You're not going to just be there when things are good, but you're going to stick by your Heavenly Father even when you don't understand why certain things are happening to you. Listen, you can't be humble and arrogant at the same time. That's syncretism. Can't do it. The Word of God demands loyalty. You can't be relative and experimental. The Christian life is not that. It's not relative. It's not experimental. There is a defined course. It's not gray. It's not, well, if, maybe. Let me give you this situation. It is, no, this is what the Bible says. Loyalty means you stick to the Word of God. You don't compromise. You don't bend. You don't blend. You stick with it. Compromise always leads to confusion. And when you're confused, then you give up, you capitulate, you give in. You see, like in this book I talked about, Lone Survivor by Marcus Luttrell, he spoke about how the Navy SEALs and the instructors in the Navy SEALs were always looking for the very best. Here's what he said. It might be only the small things that separate guys who are good from guys who are absolutely excellent. It might be just the small things. And I assure you, it can be that way in the believer's life as well. I'm going to turn to page 123 in Marcus Luttrell's book and read about this. Listen carefully. This is Luttrell speaking about a warning that he got from one of his commanding officers during training. Here's what he said. This training does not suit everyone. We get a lot of very good guys through here who just decide this is not for them, and that is their right. But they will walk away from here with dignity, understand? If we catch one of you laughing or making fun of a man who requested permission to quit, then we will hammer you without mercy, and you will regret the moments that you ridiculed this person for a long time. I advise you not even to consider it. And he closed by telling us that the real battle is won in our mind, that it's won by the guys who understand their areas of weakness, the guys who sit and think about it and plot and plan to improve, men who attend to detail, working on their weakness and overcoming it because they can. He told us that your reputation is built right here, in the very first phase of BUDS training, that's basic underwater demolition SEALs training. And you don't want people to think you're a guy who just does enough to scrape through. You want people to understand that you always try to excel, to be better, to be completely reliable, that's loyalty, and always giving it your best shot. That's the way we do business here. And remember one last thing, men. There's only one guy here in this room who knows whether you're going to make it or fail, and that's you. And so, gentlemen, go to it and always give it everything that you have. Speaking of loyalty in the believer's life, there's only one person who knows whether you are going to follow the mandates of God and stick with it, and that's you, because you are a victim of your decisions. You have to decide. Now, if you decide that you want to go down the My Way highway, if you decide that you don't want to stay filled with the Holy Spirit, if you decide you want to break fellowship with God and you want to get out of fellowship with God and you want to go do something your way, well, you're still going to heaven. And I would salute you as a member of the royal family of God because you have trusted in Jesus Christ and you have believed that He's the anointed Son of God. It just simply meant that you weren't willing to stick with it and grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You didn't want to fight that battle. You're saved. You're going to heaven. That's a done deal. That's enough for you. And church, well, it just makes too much demands. I understand. That's fine. I feel like this. If you want to go on down the My Way highway, that's absolutely fine. I think you're making a mistake. I think you'll show up in heaven one day and regret that you walked away from the greatest life that the world ever had to offer. But I respect your privacy. I respect your volition, and you're free to leave. You're free to go on down the My Way highway, and you're free to catch up in heaven. But I can assure you, you will in eternity take a look at your life and say, what a fool I was. I cannot believe I blew that opportunity. You know, a lot of people that are Christians that I meet would be just better off just not even coming to church. They make such a mess out of it. They lie about who they are and what they are. They play the game. Their friends know they're playing the game, so they kind of induce other people to play the game. They misrepresent the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know what they're talking about. They come to church. Somebody puts a Sunday school thing in their hand, and off they go to teach some group of kids, and they make a mess out of it. They let the kids read the stories and hear, what do you think this verse means? What do you think that verse means? Nobody knows what anything means. They'd be better off just not even coming. They'd be better off just keeping their mouth shut. Because they're just screwing up everything. We need men and women who are loyal, who will stay filled with the Spirit, who will take God's Word and learn it and apply it into their life under the mentor ministry of the Holy Spirit and under the teaching ministry of a qualified pastor so that they can grow in the grace and the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that they can begin to represent Christ to their friends, so that they can assume the character assets of Christ in their life. That's what we need. That's the kind of loyalty that I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone that, regardless of what it costs, will pay the price to get to spiritual maturity. Regardless if they have to drive 25 miles to go to Bible class, or regardless if the church runs 30 minutes over on Sunday morning. Quit looking at your watch and look at your soul and see the opportunity that you're blowing. Quit comparing your free time to the time that you could be spending in Bible class. I see it all the time. I see people that say, well, that's too far. I'd like to go, and I know they're teaching, but it's too far. I even have people tell me, you know, I've never learned as much about God as I did at your church, but we just need to go to a more traditional church. What a shame that people are learning and growing, and yet they walk off and ring the bell. You see, that's what they did in the seals. They ring the bell. Ding, ding, I want out. I don't want to be here anymore. Well, that's fine. If you want to ring the bell, you have the freedom to do so. But in the end, I pray that you would stick with it. I pray that you would take it one day at a time. And if you have fallen by the wayside, that you would confess your sin, that you would get up off of your behind where you got knocked, that you would admit to God that you blew it, that you messed it up, and that you would get back in the game. Because there's a winner's jacket to be received in eternity. There's a translucent robe of light you'll wear over your resurrection body called the Order of the Morning Star. I want you to get it. I want you to wear it with pride and honor. And I want you to hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You understand when these men received the trident, when they got their trident from the Navy SEALs, when they were given that badge of honor that they completed the course, no one could ever take it away from them for the rest of their life. They had endured what very few men endured. And this is the same sort of arena of contention that you live in today. You live in the devil's world. You live behind enemy lines. You are in the arena of contention. Have you rung the bell? Have you asked out? Get back in the game. Don't compromise. Stay loyal. Sometimes people compromise in their sleep. They get up on Sunday morning, they had a long Saturday night, and they say, I'm too tired, it's the weekend, I need a little sleep, or I know I need to go to church tonight, I need to be in Bible class tonight, but I'm tired. Is there quit in you? That's a legitimate question. Is there quit in you? Is it all too much for you? Is it too far away? Is it too late to go? Is it too much to ask you to be loyal to the Word of God? There are times in my life that I feel like chunking it in, traveling day in and day out on the road away from my wife and my family. And there have been times that I have looked at my own self in self-pity, staying in a motel, staying here, wherever I may be, tired, knowing that I had to drive 8 hours to get home that night. And yet God has always faithfully never abandoned me, never forsaken me, even though I've forsaken Him, never turned His back on me. And always strengthened me in my weakest times, sometimes in ways that I would least even imagine. Sometimes it's from a friend who calls. Sometimes it's from a friend who prays. Sometimes it's from the word that I read. But never, never to quit, never to give up, never to put the Bible down and walk away, never to let sin get into your life and not confess that sin, never to go off down the my way highway and think, well, someday, God and I will get back on speaking terms. But right now, I'm kind of doing my own thing. I cannot think of anything more depressing, more lonely, more empty than to live your life on the my way highway. I sure pray this is making sense, because God is loyal to you. He said, I would never leave you. I would never forsake you. Have you done that to Him? This is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the internet at www.bigrick.org.